God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Looking around this world, people, especially the baptized ones, cannot avoid the messes in the world's life. They range from Central America, Hollywood, Washington, and tumble into our states, our counties, and our cities. But the messes don't stop there. They also make their way into our own lives, including those who are baptized. So what is a person to do with all these messes? Good laws do help to contain them, but such laws cannot free us from the destructive grip of such messes. To be honest with you, the only way out, the only rescue for all of us, including the non-baptized, is the incredible life of the Holy Trinity. Thousands of years ago, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit recognized how trapped and how choked the world's people are by these messes. They decided to press their life into these messes so that you and I, along with many others, could be rescued and then embedded in the life of the crucified, resurrected, and ascended Son. His life slammed into the one given us at birth, redeeming us and making it possible for us to participate fully in the life that he shares with the Father and the Spirit. As you and I step into today's gospel, this brief but highly powerful passage unpacks the realities of the Trinity's life. The passage comes from the middle of the farewell conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples on the night of Maundy Thursday. The conversation runs from John 14 through John 17. In that holy but fierce night, our Lord first transformed the Passover meal into his Holy Eucharist, but then was forcibly arrested for a rushed trial. In this passage, you and I see that the Spirit given to us at our baptisms is the guide, that is, G, guide with an uppercase G, guide to the realities of Jesus' life. So the Spirit guides us into complete truth. The word for truth is in the Greek also describes eternal life. The Spirit tells us of the things to come, things that are breaking in now, but will also break in at the end of time. The Spirit glorifies the Son, since all he tells us comes from the Son himself. And we know that such telling originated with the Son's Father. Let's look at these three realities in more detail. First, the Spirit guides us into complete truth. It's very interesting that the verb guide is the same word used in the book of Revelation to describe how the Lamb leads the saints to living water. What this means is that a person cannot make their way to that water on their own. They need a guide. Only after the Son's crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension is there a fuller understanding of what happened and what was said during our Lord's ministry. The Spirit will guide his followers to the full truth of what he said and did in those 3 years. Now, this involves much more than a deeper intellectual understanding. This guiding actually involves a way of life that flows from our Lord's teachings. Second, the Spirit will tell us of things to come. Back in Isaiah, this declaring of things to come is a privilege of the Lord God that the world's gods do not possess, though they try mightily, but they cannot come close. If we wonder about that, consider what happens when we throw our lives in with those thousands of the world's gods. For example, the pursuit of pleasure alone does not give way to durable satisfaction. Or the pursuit of profit alone does not result in less anxiety and more calm. Or the pursuit of power alone does not make everything right. Or pursuit of the person alone does not secure one's identity and one's meaning. These things to come always have to do with the Lord's actions of rescuing, sustaining, and creating, both now and at the end of time. And notice, too, that the things to come are always embedded in the Lord's scriptures and in his sacraments of baptism, forgiveness, and Eucharist. Third, the Spirit will glorify the Son. In his ministry of 3 years, the Son glorified the Father by revealing him to the world's people through the works of that ministry. The Spirit, in turn, glorifies the Son by revealing him to his followers, again, only and repeatedly through the scriptures and the sacraments. Now, the Son recognizes that the world has glory. Recall the wilderness temptations after our Lord's baptism, where that glory in 3 instances was paraded before Jesus. Recall, too, how the world is always trying to sweep its glory in front of you and me. But the Lord turned his back on it, and we as his people, though not without some difficulty, turn our backs on such glory as well. Why? Because the only glory with substance and meaning is that given to the Son, the glory flashing brilliantly from his cross. Now, during the Son's ministry, this glory was revealed in his miraculous signs. The mightiest display of the Father's glory, glimpses of which are already seen in the New Old Testament, is the Son's crucifixion and the Son's resurrection. Put another way, the Spirit now publicizes the crucified, risen, and ascended Son, who shares and reflects the Father's glory to all of the Lord's people. So, today's gospel makes it quite obvious that the Holy Spirit is the guide, uppercase G, to the realities of the Trinity's life. These realities stream out from the forgiveness of our sin. This forgiveness is desperately needed because the world's life is always wrapping us up in ourselves. And you and I know that that's exactly what sin is. Also, it is these wrappings that have created all the messes we see in the world and the messes we see in ourselves. Thankfully, the Lord God confronts such wrappings, revealing them for what they are, cruel lies pushed in on us by the world's life. And then, following the confrontation, the Lord swamps us with his forgiveness. As participants in the church's liturgical and sacramental tradition, you and I are accustomed to confessing our understanding of the Holy Trinity through the Apostles' Creed, the one spoken when we were baptized, and the Nicene Creed, the one spoken when we take part in the supper, and third, the Athanasian Creed, the one spoken once a year on this festival in the Lutheran tradition. This creed, which we will be speaking in a few moments, describes how the Son is both God and man. And if you are curious, it is printed on pages 319 and 320 in the Lutheran service book. Now, what is striking about these three creeds is that they ground the life and the work of the Holy Trinity in the forgiveness of sins. So the Father loves us without condition as He creates us. The Son loves us in our sinfulness so intensely that He became a man to live, to suffer, to die, to rise, and to ascend for us. And the Spirit loves us with full force through His sacramental work in our lives now and beyond our deaths into eternity. What is so stunning about this forgiveness is that it reminds you and me that we were baptized to live in the Holy Trinity, not to live in the gods of this world. Thus, as the Holy Spirit breaks our lives free from sin and immerses us in the Trinity's life, He reveals the Son as our rescuer, as well as the Father who sent Him to this world to be our Redeemer. Now, this breaking and embedding is fierce and frightening work, but it always, always leads to our redemption and our salvation. Beginning with this month, the Lord's baptized people have 6 months to plunge into the incredible realities of the life He brought to this world. Having been brought into the life of the Holy Trinity and immersed in their holy places, you and I will be in significant conversations during these months. These vital conversations will not only be with one another and our Lord, but also with those whose participation in the church's life is either sporadic or non-existent. Yes, the world's life is attractive, but it is also terrifying. It promises, but cannot always deliver. It satisfies, but only on a temporary basis. Put another way, the world's life is a mess. Thus, it is the church's task to faithfully proclaim the life of the Holy Trinity, so that the attractive yet terrifying life of the world can be pierced and its people rescued from its numbing and horrific realities. Such proclamation will occur in our vital conversations this summer and beyond. So as we observe the Trinity's festival today, we are deeply grateful that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have embedded us in their eternal life and are now making these conversations possible. Amen. Now may the peace of the Lord God, which is beyond all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord.